a buoyant stock market in the time of coronavirus. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, China. Today, there are more than 20,000 cases of this coronavirus pneumonia with 425 deaths, all but two on the Chinese mainland. Macau is planning to shut its casinos as a precaution. In the U.S., there are 11 cases, but no deaths. On financial markets, the concern this week had been the epidemic cutting into global growth, especially in China. But this morning, right now, the Dow is up 443 points, 1.6%. The S&P 500 up 1.4%. The NASDAQ up 1.5%. Trying to account for the buoyant market mood today is Lindsay Piegza, chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this pneumonia, this coronavirus, is this dominant news story, yet the markets are shooting upward this morning. What do you think plays into that?
Well, I do think that we've seen some increased efforts on the Chinese side, both to help stabilize the potential negative impact from the coronavirus on the humanistic standpoint in terms of spreading the disease, but also in terms of stepping up funding for the market, so helping to control the impact on the financial markets as well.
But the market is not assuming that they can put coronavirus behind them or that the Chinese government now has a plan to keep its economy from blipping downward because of this?
No, certainly not. This is more of a short-term impact, helping to at least boost confidence that officials overseas are focused on the coronavirus and doing their best to help control the impact on the market. We also see that international investors were boosted in part by a better-than-expected ISM number here in the U.S.
That's the Institute for Supply Management Factory Activity.
Absolutely. And we did see that bounce back into expansionary territory. A little bit of optimism there as well on the heels of a phase one trade deal with China.
All right. And we do have the president making his State of the Union address tonight. I'm guessing he's going to mention the economy.
Absolutely. There are certainly some positives that we've seen over the past couple of years that are going to prompt President Trump to try and take a victory lap. We have seen a tremendous amount of resilience on the part of the consumer, as well as continued stability in the labor market. Of course, there's also some concerns in the U.S. economy, as we have seen business investment trend negative for quite some time now. And, of course, uncertainties on the international front remain.
All right. Lindsay Piegza, she's the chief economist at Stifel Nicolaus. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
With stock prices up this morning, bond prices are down. This drives the yield up. The 10-year yield, a benchmark interest rate in the U.S., is up at 1.6%. And two more numbers to put this coronavirus into perspective. 11 cases, no deaths in the U.S. But this flu season, 10,000 people have died from the standard flu in the U.S. 180,000 have been hospitalized. You've seen the Penske name on trucks, and his racing team has the top record in Indy 500 history. Now, Penske is expanding with the purchase of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway itself and a series of 17 IndyCar races across North America. But the thing is that sport has been in decline, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Ryan Tierney was born and raised in Indianapolis, went to his first Indy 500 when he was just a little kid.
When you're 7 years old and you see and feel and hear the cars going by at 220 miles an hour at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that kind of visceral sporting experience, that sticks with you forever.
He's in his 40s now, still goes to the Indy 500 every year and watches drivers crammed into single-seat, open cockpit, open-wheel cars that rev to more than 7,000 RPM. IndyCar has a close-knit fan base. When Tierney talks about the sport, he uses we and us. He says fans are optimistic about Roger Penske's new role.
We understand that this is kind of a legacy project for him, and for someone as successful as he is to take this on as that kind of a project is really exciting for us.
But that us is getting smaller. Some IndyCar races used to draw 100,000 people to the track. Now only the Indy 500 packs the stands. Other races are happy to get 30,000. And the sports TV numbers are relatively low, especially compared to, say, regular season NFL football games.
You look at the ratings. I mean, it's not like we're seeing huge increases. I mean, they're inching along the last few years.
Andy Baker teaches at IUPUI in Indianapolis and directs the university's motor sports program. He says shrinking TV audiences mean less money from sponsors. He says Penske may stabilize IndyCar, but it's not going to be easy to revive it.
I don't see a lot of growth. I see a very saturated market. A lot of the younger people aren't driving cars, and they're not changing their oil.
So they just don't get the sport, or they're not interested. But Penske does have one key asset, the Indianapolis 500 and its iconic racetrack, the Brickyard, which the new owner plans to update. Penske Corporation President Bud Danker says under previous ownership, the Speedway was getting a little long in the tooth.
They had reached kind of their limit of working capital, needed somebody else to come in with that working capital and to help, and we can do that.
The Penske Corp also intends to ramp up marketing of IndyCar races to attract new fans. But Danker says added revenue has to come first.
We need more sponsors in the series. We need more people advertising. We want to bring, some banks and cellular communication, 5G communication to the racetrack.
What Penske paid for the IndyCar series and for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was not disclosed. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And when I say the year 2035, it sounds like a Star Trek star date far into the future, but it's the same distance from now as 2005 was in reverse, 15 years, not all that long. Well, there's news that Britain will ban the sale of gasoline and diesel cars by 2035. The ban includes hybrid cars that use some gas. Norway has a non-binding goal banning them 5 years from now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.